Over the course of the past few weeks, like Kurt mentioned at the beginning, we've been tracing the theme of God with us through the storyline of the Bible. We've been tracing this whole idea, the story of his presence. Presence with a C, not with a T. Sorry, kids, on that one. But the story of God's presence with us. And as you've heard in the scripture readings leading up to this point in our service, in the beginning we saw in the Garden of Eden, God's presence was loud. God's presence was obvious. He powerfully spoke the universe into existence. And he compassionately spoke to his people. His people walked with him in the Garden of Eden. But when sin entered the picture in Genesis chapter 3, all of that changed. Our sin, their sin, has separated us from God. We can no longer be in his immediate presence because of it. And we saw this kind of tension unfold as we kept going through the story of the Bible. And we saw this tension in God's covenant with Abraham. We saw this tension with God's people in the Exodus. And we saw this tension in his judgment on his people in the exile. And we need to understand that their story is the story of this world. You and I are living in the ripple effects of that story every day. There was this building tension between God's presence and God's absence. And while the Bible starts with God clearly with us, no doubt about it, by the time you get to the end of the Old Testament, it looks more like God is not with us anymore. You go from this powerful work of creation where God's just speaking words and things are coming into existence to God's people in a land that does not belong to them under a ruler that is not theirs. So it goes from speaking and presence and God with us to what feels like silence and abandonment. And as we think about it, the time between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament was about 400 years. It's not that there wasn't anything significant happening during that time, but the event that God's people were waiting for, the coming of the Messiah, it didn't take place for 400 years. But just because God is quiet doesn't mean he has quit. Just because God is not audibly speaking does not mean he's not working. All this time, and even since before the beginning of time, God was preparing this global, eternal work of salvation, a work that would restore God with us. And we see that come to fruition in Matthew chapter 1. We started our Advent series in Matthew chapter 1, and now we return to where we started. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Before you get to verse 18, there's just this long, ongoing genealogy. This person was the father of this person. This person was the father of this person. This person was the father of this person. The kind of section in the Bible that as you start to read through it, it doesn't take long for your eyes to kind of glaze over and you just kind of zone out until you get to the story part that picks back up. But what you see in this genealogy is you have birth after birth after birth after birth. And then in verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. This birth is going to be completely different than all the births that led to it. This birth is going to be different than any birth that has happened before, and it's going to be different than any birth that will happen afterwards. And here's why it's unique. Matthew tells us in verse 18 that Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, and she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. In this birth, God is stepping into time and place. In this birth, he's stepping into a time when his people thought he might be absent. In this birth, God is stepping down to us. The God that formed the universe, the God that turned Abraham and Sarah into a great nation, the God that redeemed his people out of bondage in Egypt, the God who didn't abandon his people in exile, that God, through his own humble initiative, is now coming to earth
in the form of a baby. God with us is about to happen. Let's pray. Father, as we continue to think on these things and hear truths that may be familiar to many of us, I pray that this story would impact us, that the same Holy Spirit that brought your Son into this world through Mary would bring about life in our hearts through your word today. May our hearts prepare him room and prepare to worship him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to sing.
As you saw during the Advent series, our AC has been blowing more than usual, so I'm going to make sure we are safe and good until the end of the service. Let's continue to respond. He who is mighty.
God with us, the Christ, from Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. which means God with us.
Jesus, who sings.
be seated.
If you don't know the rest of the story, we should have said spoiler alert before we sang that song, but let me just explain to you where we're going here. Because as we step back into the story in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph's trying to figure out what he's going to do to handle what he thinks is a scandal that's about to take place. But what we know as readers of the story is a work of God, and the Lord sends an angel to intervene. Here's what happens, picking up back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But as he considered these things, as Joseph was thinking about, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? As he considered these things, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When an angel appears in any story in the Bible, it means something significant is about to be said, or something significant is about to happen. Something unstoppable is about to happen. And the angel tells Joseph that the baby in Mary's belly has been put there by God. And he's been put there for a specific purpose. The angel tells him in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 21 is the key to understanding Christmas. It's the key to understanding your life. It's the key to understanding my life. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This baby's name tells us about this baby's destiny, what he came to do. And Joseph does what the angel tells him to do. It says in verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. But between the angel saying that, and then we see Joseph's obedience, between those two things, there's this interesting couple of verses that connects what the angel says and what Joseph does to the bigger picture, the broader picture of what's happening here. Matthew kind of steps in the middle of the story and tells us in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew tells us that what's happening here is what God promised would happen centuries ago through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah could not have understood all the specifics as we understand them looking back today. But through him, God promised his people that the light of salvation would overcome the darkness of their sin. When the virgin gave birth to a son and they called his name Emmanuel, a Hebrew word that means God with us. But, and kids, you can answer this if you want to. What does Joseph name the baby? Jesus, yes. But Isaiah just said they shall call his name Emmanuel. He doesn't name his son Emmanuel. He names him Jesus. What's going on here? How are we supposed to make sense of that? Is this kind of like a first name, middle name thing? Is it like Jesus, Emmanuel, Christ? Christ is not his last name. Emmanuel is not his middle name. But I think some clarity comes for us when Matthew quotes Isaiah to say, they shall call his name Emmanuel. They is not referring to his parents. They is referring to his people. They is referring to those he came to save from their sin. Those who recognize and receive his salvation are the ones who call him Emmanuel, because they know who he really is. The names Jesus and Emmanuel go together because the only reason Jesus can save his people from their sin is because he is God with us. No normal human can save other people from sin. If I died on a cross, it would do nothing to save us from sin. Only God can do that. But humans are the ones who have sinned, so only a human can represent us before a holy God. So the name Emmanuel tells us who Jesus is. He's God with us. And the name Jesus tells us what he came to do. He came to save his people. So that's why as we come to this scene in Bethlehem, we see this baby boy lying in the manger, hearing the kind of noises that you are hearing right now as we sit in this room together. And he's a baby boy that created the world. And he's a baby boy that will one day die for the sins of the world. Jesus was born to die. That may not seem too strange to you. I mean, everyone that's born eventually dies. This is just how life works. But Jesus was born for the very purpose of dying. The birth of Jesus led to the death of Jesus. Jesus was born into this world and laid in a manger, and he would eventually die for the world when he was hung on a cross. The birth of Jesus took place so that wrongdoers like me and like you could be rescued from the punishment we deserve because of our sins. This is the way the story of God with us comes to a climax in Jesus. The tension of God's presence and God's absence that we've seen this whole time is resolved through Jesus. In his birth, Jesus is God's presence to us. And in his death, he took on God's absence for us as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We deserve God against us, but through Jesus, we get God with us. And it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what dark secrets you have hidden. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. You can come to him and he will save you from your sin. This is why he was born. This is why he lived. This is why he died. This is why he came back from the dead. We could not work our way up to him, but he came down to us. And all of this tells us that the only way to make sense of our lives, the only way to make sense of this world when God seems absent, is to look to Christ. He is the presence of God for you, and he took on the absence of God for you. This is where hope comes from this Christmas. This is where peace comes from this Christmas. This is where joy comes from this Christmas. From the one who is Jesus, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us.